You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Brother Charles.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I tell you, I love the Rec Room. Leland talked about when we first started it, he asked me if I could do the music, and I said, well, I'll come and do it sometimes. I don't think I can make it every week, but I'll come do it sometimes. That's been 11 years ago, 12 years ago, and the only time I ever miss is if I just have to be out of town or I just happen to be so sick I can't get here. I love the Rec Room. God loves this Rec Room. He's done a lot of miracles here, and we're so thankful for that. And this song is a song by Brother Jimmy Davis. You may not know who he was, but he was like the governor of the state of Louisiana. Wrote some real good songs. This is one of them. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. Oh, but I know a man. Soul that's sinful, make it white as the snow. Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can.
Just a little while tonight about repentance or regret. We're going to look at different places in the Bible, and if you'd like to look with us, if we'll raise your hand, we'll get you a Bible. Just hold it up and they'll be coming with it. Never. take my word for anything. Always check it out with the Bible. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Said it twice in the book of Luke, 13th chapter. Said it in the 3rd verse. Said it in the 5th verse. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now let me say something about repentance, because we hear a lot of people talking about sin. Nobody gets saved confessing sin. That's not part of the gospel. And a lot of people confess sin because they don't want to have to keep paying for it. It's not that they are sorry. I tell people this, because I was an old drunk. And whether you're a drug addict, been a drug addict or drunk, most people want to get over that because they keep getting trouble being in it. We're sorry, we're tired. Somebody said, well, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Most of the time we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of getting caught. It's not that we want to stop this. We just want to stop it so we can stop getting caught. We're tired of paying the bills. We're tired of paying the fines. We're tired of getting in this trouble. We're starting to causing problems with the family or all the things that go with it. And so there were people who repented in the Bible because they wanted to just get something straight. Wasn't because... Let me put it this way. In the Bible, true repentance is you repent of who you are, not what you did. Make sense? It's who am I, not look, I did this or did that. Let me tell you about sins. Bible said all in sin come show the glory of God. And everybody didn't go to crack house. Some people were raised in a church, stayed in a church, and they're still sinners. Maybe worse than the guy in the crack house. See, you could just have hatred, or it could play into murder. It could be lust that you can hide, or it can be adultery. It can be covetousness, which is inside. In fact, Paul said, Paul lived a fantastic life. He was a Pharisee. That meant he had his doctorate in religion. He did all the things right, except what caught him, he said, was covetousness inside his heart, who he was. You can covet, or you can just go ahead and steal. You can just have unbelief, or you can go into idolatry. Now, we don't go anywhere, my man. Thank you. I'm going to give you some people that, and I want you to notice, because we're going to read the verses, that's why I want you to read them with me, that these people repented. But they repented for what they did. They didn't repent for who they were. Let's go back, start in the second book in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 10. And we're going to talk about Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh had been keeping the children of Israel in prison. They were slaves to him. He was working them hard. Time and again, Moses had gone to him, and God had sent Moses to him to let my people go worship. And he wouldn't, and then he got where he said he would, and then he wouldn't. And I want you to notice this in chapter 10, in verse 16, it said, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And as soon as Moses did that, he turned right around and double-crossed him. He didn't. He's didn't release them from slavery. He changed his mind. I want you to turn over to the book of Numbers. Two books later, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 22. This is about a false prophet named Balaam. Balaam was a unique guy because he kept trying to get God to curse his people because he needed, the guy offered him a whole bunch of money if he would do this. And like most preachers, he needed the money. So he was willing to do anything for it. And he kept trying to get God to curse people, get him to change his mind. He wouldn't listen to what God said. He just kept trying it another way. And I want you, but by the way, this is one that God talked through his donkey. That really was the thing in Scripture that helped me speak. I thought if God had talked through an ass. Well, am I right or wrong? I say, yeah, you Leland, you're that. Yeah. But notice in verse 34 of chapter 22, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. But yet, when God would answer him, he'd turn right around and do the same thing again. He'd double-cross it. He'd say, forgive me for this, and then he'd go do something else. There was a king, the first king of Israel, named Saul. God told him one time, he said, I want you to go over and kill everybody big enough to die. He said, I want you to attack these people because they had attacked God's nation of Israel. And when they were in the wilderness, they attacked them from behind. And behind is where all the children and the invalid people and the cripples were. And they attacked Israel from behind. God never forgave them for that. And so he said, I want you to go in there and kill these people, starting with the king. Saul went in there, and he got to looking at some of those people and some of their stuff. And he said, boy, that's good stuff. I'm not going to put that in a garage sale. We'll keep that. And here's what he said when God got on him about it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Here it is again. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He was good about blaming somebody else for it. And then down in verse 30, he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Here he is, trying to get God to do something for him. He disobeyed God and then lied about it. And then go probably to the one that everybody knows. Go into the book of Matthew, chapter 27, to a man by the name of Judas. You know the story of Judas for 30 pieces of silver. He turned Jesus into the authorities, told them where he'd be, where to catch him, where to get him. And Jesus never resisted. And I really think in my mind that Judas didn't realize that they were really going to kill Jesus. I think he thought they were just talking. But after he betrayed Jesus, and they captured him at the garden, and he saw that they were taking him in, and they were going to carry on and kill him, he tried to undo what he'd done. He took the money back to them, and they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he threw it down, and I want you to notice what he said in verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, that Jesus was going to be killed, repented himself. Notice he didn't repent to God. Repented himself. Brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. We're not talking to you anymore. We don't need you. See, man kept repenting of what he did, not who he was. Let me give you the perfect example of this, and I hope all of you look at this. Turn with me to the book of Job. Job is the man in the Bible that God said he's the best man on earth. That's what he told Satan. And Satan said, I'll tell you what, if you'll let me take his stuff, I'll get him to curse you to your face. And God said, you can do anything to him but touch his body. And in one day, Job had 10 children. In one day, they all died. Job and Mrs. Job attended the funeral of 10 kids. Now, let me tell you, I have attended a funeral of two, one at a time. Never had it, but I've attended two of my children. I cannot think the heartache of standing by 10 graves. Took all of his money, took all of his servant, took all of his cattle, and destroyed all of them. And Job is flat broke and a pauper. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God said to Satan, what to tell you? What to tell you about my servant? And the devil said, I'll tell you one thing. If you'll let me touch his body, he said, man will give anything for his own self. We have the survival of the fittest. And if you let me touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. And God said this to Satan. He said, you can do anything but take his life. And all of a sudden, Job has got balls from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now, I don't know if you've ever had boils or not. When I moved down in the Houston area, and I don't know what it was, don't know what caused it, don't know what caused it, don't know what got rid of it. Just came and it went. But I began to have boils. And you can have boils at places you really don't want anything on your body. And those boils, oh, they hurt. Balls are terrible, and he had them all over. I just had them in a few places, but he had them all over his body and on the soles of his feet just to walk. My life. And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, for 40 something chapters in the book of Job, Job had three friends that showed up, and let me say this, the reason I know they were really friends, because they showed up and didn't say a word for 7 days. Just kept their mouth shut. It's usually somebody shows up to tell you just what to do, don't they? They start talking before they get in the room. These seven guys didn't, but then they started telling Job, Job, here's your problem. You done this, you done that. And the best friends he had are blaming him for his own problem. And he sees his friends turn on him. Everybody turns on this guy. Nobody wants to pay any attention to him. He doesn't have anything. He loses his testimony. Nobody cares about Job. He was the biggest man in the East. He was the wealthiest man. He was the best Christian. And all of a sudden, he's zip, zero, nada. And this is hard to take. See, it's one thing to get in trouble. It's another thing to be on top of the world getting in trouble. Let me tell you one of the things I noticed in prison. When I first started going in prison, the first 6 years I was in there, it was a white-collar, non-violent prison. They had no fence around the place, and they wore their own clothes. And they had over 700 men incarcerated there, most of them 5 years and less. I saw guys that were sentenced to 1 year cry every night. They were miserable. They did a hard time. I go into state prisons and some kid goes in there and gets him 4 or 5 tattoos and come back and brags about being at his joint. One is hurt and one, they're handling these things totally different, because to fall, all of them had been wealthy. Now they were broke. Their attorneys were pretty rich, but they're broke. Their families, they put their families through stuff. Their wife had never had to work. She's having to work now. Kids had what they wanted. They don't have anything anymore. It was a pretty rough row for them to hoe. So if you fell from a place, you've lost a lot. And Job has been through all of that. God comes to him. I want you to listen to what Job said. Then Job answered the Lord and said, this is chapter 40, verse 3 and 4. I want you to look at this, those of you who've got your Bible. Job said, behold, I am vile. That means filthy. That means dirty. That means putrid. Notice, he said what he was. He didn't say what he did. He didn't say, I have sinned. He said, I am a sinner. That's me. Turn to the 42nd chapter, a page over, verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself. How's this for self-love? You want to see somebody with no self-esteem? The Bible tells us we're to esteem others better than ourselves. And all the books say you need to esteem yourself. We got a bunch of people writing all this PMA, positive mental attitude stuff. And for years I read that because I was in the sales field. Those were my Bibles. Think and Grow Rich. The Magic of Thinking Big. I'm okay, you're okay. Looking Out for Number One. Read all those books. To try to think myself into being somebody didn't work. Still a nobody. But Job said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is who I am. I'm a sinner. Now then, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's try to bring it up to date. To you and I, chapter 7. And verse 10. For godly sorrow, this is Paul speaking, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. Do you hate your life because of what it's cost you? Or do you hate who you are? Jesus knows who we are. He understood, and in fact the Bible said that God commendeth his love toward us in that, not while we were trying to straighten up, quit, stop our addiction, live right, go to church, be a good example, love our neighbor, but he said while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because he knew we cannot help ourselves. It doesn't make any difference how much Joel Osteen says you can, you can't. A few years ago, I read something and then announced it, and it wasn't in the rec room. It was a long time before the rec room. But come to find out it was wrong. I quoted somebody else who said something that somebody said, and they didn't. And anyway, I got myself out there on that limb and really embarrassed myself. And I had to do some public apology. The old man that taught me, tried to teach me some Bible, told me, he said, if you start studying the Bible, he said, develop an appetite for crow, because you're going to get to eat a lot of it. And I learned what he meant. And so from that day forth, I made this promise to myself that when I heard something, when somebody told me what somebody said, I would go to the source. I wouldn't take anybody's word for it anymore. Not that I thought they was a liar. Not that I thought they was trying to deceive me. I just wanted to be correct. So if you came into my office, you will find stuff, a bunch of stuff I don't believe on the shelf. Because I went and got it to see what it said. If somebody said the NIV Bible said this and it was wrong, then I didn't take their word for it. I went and bought me an NIV Bible. If they said the New King James said this and is wrong, I didn't take their word for it. I went and bought the New King James. I got the New Living Translation. I got the Quran. I've got the Muslim Bible. I've got the Catholic Bible. I wanted to get those things. If they said that Joel Osteen said something and I wouldn't have bought his book. So I wouldn't recommend to read everything I've got on my bookshelf, because some of it I bought, the point is wrong. I got Rick Warren's book about the purpose-driven church. I wanted to find out who was driving the purpose-driven church. And so, today, I picked up one of Joel Osteen's books. And I'd written down some quotes and underlined them in it. One of them said, you come from a bloodline of champions. No, you don't. You come from a sinner. There's nothing in mine in your bloodline that makes us champions. Champions are not born. Everybody's a champion has worked like a dog for it. It just doesn't happen to say, well, man, I'm this because of my bloodline. Joel said, I'm very valuable. I have raw blood in my blood. I have a bright future. No, you don't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can go here, Joel, and if you've been, you can come from the crack house, and Joel won't convict you of being there. You could have spent the week with your neighbor's wife and listened to Joel, and he won't offend you. You could have stole from the bank. God, our churches are filled every week with a whole bunch of people, and they have no conviction. Nobody's offended. We can say all these things, boy, God's good and God's great. And Joel said that when Jesus said, love thy neighbors thyself, he said the prerequisite for loving your neighbor is yourself. That's a lie. He said there's two things, love God and love your neighbor. He didn't say there's three, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. God can count. He said two. Everybody loves himself. And if you think I'm wrong, you take 2 2-year-olds and put them in one room with one toy and see how they share. Yeah. I asked the question sometime, And at what age, at what grade does jealousy and envy start and covetousness? One word you'll never have to teach a child to say is mine. You in there trying to get them to say paw, paw, maw, maw, grandma, mama, daddy, thank you, yes ma'am, no ma'am. They will learn mine before you can get it out. They know it. Yeah. God will make you successful and rich, Joel said. Well, I bet Peter and James and John had known that. I bet when old Job was going through all of that, he'd known that. He'd been smart as Joel. We have all these things because that makes people feel good, and that's what we want to hear. And you look at the face of Jesus. He was beaten. He was bruised. Nails was driven in his hands and in his feet to get you and I to heaven. It's not a game. It's not a hobby. It's not a pastime. Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Everybody in here, sooner or later, will pass out into eternity. Eternity is the same as it was when God created it. It's still got two compartments, heaven and hell. He hadn't air conditioned anything. He hadn't closed one up. It's still there. God said, I change not. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything in the Bible has to do with God looking for that humble person, looking for that convicted person that he will use. Looking for that broken heart that it can use. We're always looking for what's in it for us. What'll it do for me? Instead of what can God, what will he do? What's he going to do?
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.